If you've never been to the Rock Shop on Gottfredson, get ready to be amazed. To experience the Rock Shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Gottfredson has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction, no charge. The Rock Shop serves the entire Southeast Michigan area as a full supplier of landscaping supplies and materials. Their selection spans across more than 12 acres of property, making the Rock Shop one of the largest hard landscape supply companies in Michigan. Make sure to stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north of M14 at exit 15, southwest corner of Gottfredson Road and North Territorial. Check online at rock-shop.com. That's rock-shop.com. rockshoppe.com. Or call 734-455-5560.
Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current online. Stand up for. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. 822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings. Gary Wellings.
Good Sunday morning. To another edition of The Drift. Glad to have you tuning in and catching my drift this Sunday morning. I'm going to do something a little different today. Instead of tackling politics, I figured we'd take a breather. Other than Derek, I said I had to mention the hostess thing. As many of you may have heard over the last day or two, Hostess Wonder Bread Company went belly up. No more Twinkies, no more Ho-Hos. Another drop in the bucket, I guess, thousands and thousands of people out of work. So we may get into that next week. But just to let you know that the death of the Twinkie comes to you compliments of Barack Obama. There you go. You going to miss it, Derek? Yeah, you will. Okay, so let's take care of my sponsor this half hour, The Rock Shop, 734-455-5560. Now, if you're looking for hardscape for your home, you really want to go to The Rock Shop, because The Rock Shop has not only the best quality and best selection of hardscape, that's pavers and retaining walls and statuaries and fountains, they have the unique ability to tell you exactly what it is you need. They give you the right tools and the right materials for your application, because if you put the wrong stuff down, you're just wasting your money. Now, Marco and Helena Scappaticci do a wonderful job at The Rock Shop, and their staff are incredibly knowledgeable. They will teach you for free how to install your own hardscape, and that's huge. I mean, you can call them, again, 734-455-5560. I think Rocktoberfest is wrapping up, but if you get hold of them, they've got up to 50% off statuaries, fountains, garden benches, all that cool stuff that you'd like to have on your own deck or in your own yard. And they've got a great website. Go to www.rock-shoppe.com and check them out. They're just off of M14. If you get off at, I think it's exit 15, Gottfredson Road. They're just north, a quarter mile at North Territorial and Gottfredson Road. So got a great yard there with all kinds of stones and pavers in it. So check them out, 734-455-5560. Now, I told you last week we were going to do a little change-up. And what we're going to talk about today is wine. And our guest in the studio today, Shant Margos, is a wine sommelier and a wine judge, one of the top 250 wine judges in the world. Good morning, Shant.
Good morning.
All right. So you and I met a few weeks back, back now, at a wine tasting. And we hit it off because our political views are pretty similar.
Yeah.
And excuse me. You're a recent immigrant to our country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you are very patriotic, and I want to thank you. Shant came in this morning with a brand new flag for the Ted Heisel studio, and very proud to display it. So thank you very much for that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's great. It looks great in the studio, I'd say that.
yeah. It looks great. So glad to have you on board today. And what we're going to do is talk about wine, and you are now the owner and editor of your own winemagonline.com, correct?
Yep.
So tell me a little bit about what you do.
Okay. Well, just to, you know, clarify a few terms, winding is a passion for me, and going through the wine thing, I'm, as you said, a sommelier and the wine judge. Well, what we mean by sommelier is a person who's trained and accredited in the wine industry to evaluate wine and different aspects of food and wine pairing, all that stuff. And so that's something that you can do by studying, learning, and going through the accreditation process, which is a long process, especially in Europe. I got mine from the one of the most reputable, which is the Italian one. I'm originally coming from Italy, as you know. The wine judge, instead, is nothing that you can decide to be. It is there are international wine competitions. There's one I'm judging on different ones, and one of the main one in Europe. That's something only by invitation, and that is you have to be called by them to do this job. Which we do, what we do is that we evaluate the wine and we, you know, eventually designate the medals and everything. So that kind of stuff. So if somebody buys a bottle of wine and saws, you know, sees this kind of medal, that kind of stuff we do. And this is the main things that I do about wine. And I've done consulting job. But I also, as you know, we know each other personally. So I have other jobs, you know, it's not my, wine is like a kind of passion, but you know. It got grown out of to be a passion now. But,
right. Like yeah. me. I've got other jobs. We do the radio. We do the newspaper.
Yeah.
And so what was it that, you know, a lot of people drink wine in Europe. Yeah. What made you take it to the next level to become the sommelier?
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting and good question. Well, I mean, what happened is that, you know, wine was some concept that in the family we had. My uncle, who's a very, you know, known surgeon, his name is Nishan, and he was very interested in wine. And when I was, you know, smaller and bring up, I saw him, you know, all the time drinking wine and, you know, enjoying wine and, you know, praising the good wine. And so, you know, that thing grew into also me, you know, seeing my, you know, very successful man, my uncle doing that. And I got this passion. And I realized after a while, like 15 years ago, maybe, that I knew a lot, actually. You know, I
could. Because you grew up in the business.
Yeah, and I knew, like, you know, I could have, you know, identically defined how much would the wine cost and stuff like that, and knew a ton of stuff about the business at the same time. And I said, why should I, you know, go into the next level? Like, why shouldn't I, you know, get the designation and everything? And from there onwards, I remember that, you know, a ton of years passed, and I'm today here doing other stuff. So one thing led to another, and my passion grew over. And I spend a ton of time doing. So it's not an easy thing. If you're not that passionate, it might be sometimes, like, very challenging. So the starting point has been that, and I've invested a ton of time, you know, researching and doing other stuff, and I, you know, came to be whatever I'm doing right now.
Right. So, it, like a lot of people, it evolves. Your passion evolves. And,
exactly.
And you ended up becoming the sommelier and a wine judge, which is really awesome. Now, you are our newest columnist at the Current newspaper.
Yeah, so it's a great pleasure.
We're so glad to have you, because you know what? We could use a little culture. Everybody could use a little extra culture, including myself, or especially myself. And you're now writing a column for us in the monthly in the Current, and you're inviting our readers and readers of your own winemagonline.com to ask questions.
Exactly.
Because we want to educate. You know, that's a big part of the Current's philosophy, is to educate people. And we encourage listeners and readers to ask these questions. You can call in 734-822-1600 if you have any question on wine this morning. Thanksgiving is right around the corner.
Exactly.
It's this week. So if you want to pick wines for the family, you want to surprise them with something that goes well with turkey, now's the time to call in and ask Shant what we should be drinking this week, maybe. Mm-hmm. So tell me about winemagonline.com.
Okay. Well, Wine Mag Online is an initiative that, you know, you also, I should say that, you know, give him some good ideas to bring it up and, you know, grow it out. You know, I'll be living in Michigan, and I've been here like for a couple of months. So I have visited a ton of wineries in this area, and I've noticed some of them are really interesting. So, well, I normally do write and do, you know, stuff even in the television about wine, but I just want to focus a little bit on the Michigan wine. And, you know, you want to call educate, but I would say, you know, put my views down about these wines, the good ones I would like to underline, and I would want to inform people about the rest of the wine. So this is the, you know, main motivator to start off with. And I'm very happy to be, you know, talking with you, with the people like you and, you know, similar mindset people. So I think it's a good occasion to mix these two things together, like, you know, my intentions of, you know, bringing this to be, you know, making bigger at the same time with the current.
Yeah.
So the thing over there is, just to clarify that, is that I'm very happy and willing to, you know, give the necessary support to the current people, to the, you know, listeners of this radio, the nice people that I would define them, the good Americans, I can say that, just to, you know, be, you know, good, be, try to be their good son, trying to, you know, serve the community. So we have this passion.
Yeah, and that's what it's about. It's serving the community. So I'm exactly. So glad we are kindred spirits in that effect. Derek, we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Sean Margos, our wine sommelier. See you on the other side.
Listeners, I'm Edwin Hoffman, host of Speaking of Art. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., we explore the world of art and antiques, commercially, academically, and from the perspective of the collector. Speaking of Art features renowned guests as our guides as we visit great museums, galleries, theaters, and historic sites. We'll examine paintings, prints, sculpture, and drawings. You'll hear from the artists and their patrons, and you'll gain a special insight into both contemporary and historical periods. We'll travel through monuments of world architecture and experience the evolution of design. Achievements in film, music, and stage will also grace our forum. Speaking of Art is one of the best conversations of your week. So, nestle into an overstuffed chair and join our room full of connoisseurs every Sunday at 5 on WHAM. Speaking of Art, it's about civilization, yours.
Settle in for a great conversation every Sunday at 5 p.m. Speaking of Art with Ed Hoffman, exclusively on WHAM Talk 1600. The Salvation Army and WHAM Talk 1600 are pleased to present the 6th annual 1600 Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive. We need your help to make sure every needy child in Washtenaw County has a happy holiday. Toys are needed for young teens, too. Games, CDs, DVDs, sports equipment, jewelry, and makeup. You can donate a new unwrapped toy to one of our sponsor locations. In Ann Arbor, Gold Crown Jewelers, Dixboro General Store, USA Hockey, Two Men in a Truck, George Meyer Company, Kmart, Garris, and Garris Law, Hogback Office Center, Cozy Home Solutions, Treasure Mart, in Ypsilanti, Gene Butman Ford, Michigan Firehouse Museum, Kmart, Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS Celine. Together, we can collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys. The 6th annual 1,600 Toys for 1,600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive.
Did you know there are medical grants available for families struggling with child health-related expenses? The United Healthcare Children's Foundation is now accepting applications for the 2012 grant program. Grants up to $5,000 are available to help families who need financial assistance to pay for their child's healthcare services, treatments, or equipment not covered or not fully covered by their commercial health insurance plan. For eligibility guidelines or to apply, go online to www.uhccf.org. This has been a public service message from the United Healthcare Children's Foundation.
This is the Clark Cast with Matt Clark.
With my generation, they realize, well, wait a minute, I want free contraception. Well, wait a minute, I want this, I want that. Well, wait a minute, well, wait a minute, well, wait a minute. And you can go on a long list of stuff that my generation and those that have been on the dole for quite some time want to continue to have. They don't realize, A, where that comes from, and B, why it's not sustainable.
Don't miss the Clark Cast, live Sunday afternoons, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern.
Vaccine preventable infections kill 50,000 American adults each year. That's more than HIV, AIDS, breast cancer, or traffic accidents. I'm Representative Gail Haynes of Michigan. On behalf of women in government, I urge you to talk to your doctor about the vaccines you need from birth through adulthood. You can protect yourself. Please visit womeningovernment.org.
Morning in America.
Some definitions of the word candor. Quality of being honest and straightforward in attitude and in speech. The ability to make judgments based on the evidence. The absence of dishonesty. Bill Bennett's Morning in America. Candor. It's how to start your day. Morning in America. Has it dawned on you?
Start your day right. Join us 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. weekdays on Wham!
You're listening to The Drift on Wham! Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
Well, welcome back, and thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. In the studios with us, Shant Margos, wine sommelier and wine judge. And let's tell people a little the difference between the two. I mean, you go to an American restaurant, somebody will mm-hmm. be the wine sommelier. Whether they're really accredited or not is something completely
yeah.
different.
Yeah.
Let's talk about you being an actual wine judge and, you know, what that entails as opposed to just a guy who is a sommelier, even okay. if he's accredited.
Well, I mean, actually, I still would like to – well, this is a very good question I have to give you today because, you know wine judge, I will go to that, but the sommelier thing, let's clarify that, you know, for everybody. Because, you know, you go to a restaurant and, you know, you order wine or whatever it is, and, you know, you might see that somebody is, like, very knowledgeable and the other is, like, just serving the wine. So what is really a sommelier, you know? The problem is that to be able to call yourself to be a sommelier, you have to have the accreditation. As we were talking yesterday, by the way.
Yes. You have to have the
paperwork. Yeah, I mean, like, it's like
paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. Paperwork. But what's that paperwork entails to is this. Let's assume that I'm a surgeon, you know, I'm you know, operating people, and I'm not a doctor. You know, it's not that possible in that profession, in the medical profession. In the wine industry, you might call yourself a wine expert or whatever it is. You should not be calling, you know, a sommelier if you don't have the degree.
Right.
But if you say it, I don't know if you're going to go to jail.
Right.
I don't
so there's
think
no
so.
Laws against calling yourself a sommelier.
Yeah. But know. The problem is that you're lying. If somebody catches you, that's a problem. But the point is this. Sommelier is this. Each country, you know, has their own organization. The Italians have their organization. The oldest now in the world is the Italian one. And you go there, you do the applications and everything, and you start a program. Italians is a three-layered program, takes different years to complete, and each level you finish, there are, you know, extra things that you have to go through. There's a ton of extra curriculum activities that you have to do, and you take an oral written exam, very harsh ones, and if you pass all these procedures, we're talking about investing maybe 4 or 5 years doing all this stuff, then you turn out to get the designation and you can officially call yourself a sommelier. I think it's more like in Europe, no one would call themselves sommelier if they're not really a sommelier. Here it's not that, you know, clear.
It's America. We're still the Wild West. We do what we want here. Well, a lot of people do anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can see that.
So actually that's that. So if a person is sommelier, you might want to ask, oh, which one is that? You know? And in America, I mean, some countries... for instance, the Italian one is a one organization. The French one is a one organization. But here you have like smaller, you know, stuff that, you know, claim that they're doing this designation stuff. Right. Which is, because of the deregulation about that thing, Not the regulation, not the organization of that aspect of the life.
Right. So it's more of a regional nature.
The problem is that so big, in that case, you might claim that, then you have to ask, which one is that, One is good, one is bad, maybe.
Right.
So for Italy, if somebody says sommelier, everyone knows what it's that. It's one organization and that's it. And for France, it's the same thing.
Right.
So this is the thing about the sommelier. So if a person is really a sommelier, then that person is really knowledge about the wine.
And we talked. There's more to wine than what people think. We talk about bouquets. We talk about tannins. We talk about flavors. But it's really chemistry.
Exactly.
I mean, our first conversation, I was blown away because I had no idea that there was so much to the wine. I mean, mm-hmm. the aeration, the oxygenation, all those things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wine is a chemical.
Exactly.
And it's a very complex chemical.
Yeah.
Again, caller 734-822-1600 if you have a question for the wine judge. Give us a holler. I'd love to get you on the air. Or if you just want to email me, Gary@thedailydrift, I can tell your question on the air if you're too shy to call in. But again, 734-822-1600. Let's talk about a question I had, and you've explained it to me, but I think there's a lot of people out there.
Mm-hmm.
Over the last few years, as I've gotten a little older, wine affects me with the headaches now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about sulfites and whatnot, what causes those headaches. I love to drink red wine. I used to love to be able to sit around and drink a bottle of red wine with my friends. I'm lucky to get a glass into me now without having a headache.
Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit to people about how that reaction happens with people getting those headaches from wine.
All right. Okay. The first thing is that the main cause of the headaches are the sulfites. And sulfites are some chemicals added to the wine. And you can see it in every bottle,
Yeah, in America here, it'll say contains sulfites.
Yeah. It's per law in every country. They more or less in Europe even have that, so they have to write per law. The point is, in Europe, it is they have specific limitations which you cannot exceed. In here, it is not that, very limited amount sometimes, so people might add up more. Especially if they have some second doubts about the quality of their wine. So what will happen is, what sulfite does is that it preserves the wine.
Okay, right? So it's just a preservative.
Yeah. So if you're not so happy with the quality of the wine, so you feel that it's going to go bad, you might add a little bit more. Now, adding a little more is not going to kill anybody, but might lead to headaches. And actually, on the contrary of what people would, think, the sulfites are more in the white wine with respect to the red wine. So my suggestion would be first this. If you have, had some white wine and you felt like having some kind of headache, good suggestion is don't drink that wine again, okay? Because they're putting a lot of sulfites and it's not good for you eventually.
Okay, so just if you find a wine that gives you a headache, a particular brand, a particular does it change by year?
It's changed by bottle. But the thing is that, the point is that if I'm getting that bottle and, that producer's, white wine, and if I had a problem, I wouldn't go and buy that same wine. Because there certainly is a link with the headaches and the sulfites. So that's the main thing. The other things that might impact are the tannins for the red ones and the other components of the red wine. But that's kind of limited to what you really can do. What I would suggest is that if you are having, Cabernet Sauvignon and you're having problems with that Cabernet Sauvignon, just try a different varietal. Because these phenolic subjects, which are called tannins, are slightly different, have different features. I cannot guarantee that you won't have that, but you should try it because it might give a little,
Right. Now, we talked about tannins. Let's have a little tannin talk time.
Okay. That's wonderful.
tannins are, we didn't say the sediment, but tannins come into the wine from either the grape skin.
Yeah.
Or in some cases, you said in a cheaper wine, there might be some stems from the wine. If they were pressing the wine and just throwing them in there without leaving the stems, you might get tannins.
Mm-hmm.
But you also said something that struck me last night. When they age wine in wooden casks, the type of wood and cask that it's aged in can also put tannins into the wine.
Yeah. So let's explain this concept. It's very interesting. And actually, I like to touch a point because the wine industry is a very, like, you know, elitist industry, right? So some of the things that the sommelier and the, you know, the expert knows, they don't want to share it with the public. So the I think we can answer one interesting question: why we age wine? Okay, everybody drinks wine, but nobody knows that. Okay, because it's kept as a secret. Because if you explain that, what will happen is people will understand what is more valuable in the wine. Okay, so we'll come to that, let's say, after a while.
Yeah, after the we're going to get into that because that's the politics of wine. We've had this conversation.
Exactly.
After the break, we'll get into that. But let's see, Derek, how long we got? Just a couple seconds? Okay, so we're going to get into that right after the break. But and there it is, right on cue. We'll talk about the aging of wine and how that is kind of political in nature and why people aren't being told that. So we'll see you on the other side.
That's great.
Talk 1600.
Hey, my blood brothers of freedom. This is Ted Nugent.
Southeast Michigan's conservative powerhouse.
God bless Ann Arbor and Wham Radio. I started doing interviews on Wham Radio around 1966. I celebrate and promote the God-given individual right as guaranteed in the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, for us to defend ourselves, to keep and bear arms. And just to make sure everyone understands what we the people understand, keep can only mean one thing. That's it's mine and you can't have it.
Wham.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. President Obama is starting his tour of Southeast Asia today. The first stop, Thailand.
Let me say, Sawadee krap. I will say that the Prime Minister's English is much better than my Thai.
The President praising Thailand for supporting democracy in Burma, which he'll also visit along with Cambodia. Israeli troops poised at the Gaza border as Israel and Hamas continue to trade rocket fire.
There are negotiations going on between the Egyptians, some Arab leaders, and then also Hamas and Islamic Jihad, who control the Gaza Strip, about a possible ceasefire. And Israel is effectively saying, you got 24 or 36 hours to bring the ceasefire talks to the table and have a deal, or we go in on the ground.
Fox's Leland Vittert. Officials in Midland, Texas say a parade float with wounded veterans began crossing railroad tracks despite warning signals. The float was hit by a freight train, killing four. Fox News, we report, you decide.
If you've never been to the Rock Shop on Godfredson, get ready to be amazed. To experience the Rock Shop is to see how utterly beautiful your home can be. From a magnificent collection of brick pavers to unlimited possibilities of retaining walls, slate patios, statuary, and fountains. The Rock Shop on Godfredson has it all, and they'll teach you to install for free. You'll get one-to-one instruction, no charge. The Rock Shop serves the entire Southeast Michigan area as a full supplier of landscaping supplies and materials. Their selection spans across more than 12 acres of property, making the Rock Shop one of the largest hard landscape supply companies in Michigan. Make sure to stop by the Rock Shop in Plymouth, north of M14 at exit 15, southwest corner of Godfredson Road and North Territorial. Check online at rock-shop.com. That's rock-shop.com. rock-shoppe.com. Or call 734-455-5560.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dave Janda, host of Operation Freedom, broadcasting live from Wham Talk 1600's Freedom Bunker every Sunday from 3 to 5. We are the only operating room in all of radio. Every Sunday in ROR, we dissect current events with the help of guests that NM Media are afraid to bring to light. Our goal is to educate and empower you. I hope you'll join our OR team every Sunday from 3 to 5 right here at Wham Talk 1600.
Yeah! I'm Susan Lucci. More than 2 million Americans have a type of irregular heartbeat called atrial fibrillation, or AFib, putting them at greater risk of stroke.
I'm Dr. David Willis, and I frequently see patients with AFib, a serious condition where a blood clot can travel from the heart to the brain, causing a stroke.
When I found out my husband, Helmut, had AFib, I pledged to learn everything I could.
Susan and I, along with my doctor, work as a team to help reduce my risk of AFib-related stroke.
Visit FacingAFib.com today.
Amen. Amen.
Join
us every Sunday morning for Wham's Weekend Worship. At 9 a.m., it's the Lutheran Hour, followed by the Christian Science Sentinel at 9:30. At 10 o'clock, we join Bethlehem United Church of Christ for their live weekly service. Finally, we visit the First Presbyterian Church of Ann Arbor from 11 to noon. Start your week off right with Wham Talk 1600.
You're listening to The Drift on Wham Talk 1600. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. Now, back to your host, Gary Wellings.
And welcome back. Thank you for catching my drift this Sunday morning. We have in the studio Shant Margos, wine sommelier and wine judge. In the studio, he now does a column with The Current and has his own website, winemagonline.com. And Current readers, Wham listeners, you can ask questions of the wine judge for free anytime. And you'll get – we had one reader already email from the last issue, and you didn't just answer him. You answered him with a – it's almost like a three-page report on this. It was why does wine taste better after the day after you open it, which is a great question. And you didn't just tell him, yeah, it's because of this. You literally sent him a report. So if you are a listener or a reader of The Current, you really need to, if you have a question, call 734-822-1600 or email me, Gary, at thedailydrift.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can reach in The Current. You'll reach emails for Shant. And this is a chance for you to educate yourself. I mean, I thought I knew a lot about wine. I don't. Mm-hmm. I know nothing about wine. And just attending two tastings with you now, I've learned chemistry, basically. Mm-hmm. And it makes sense to me now. And I understand why, even down in my own little wine collection that I have in the basement, I've got some bottles that shouldn't be in there. You know, so that's something I will have to fix. But let's go back to the question of why do we age wine?
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, the reason why we age wine is, a chemical thing, actually. And what happens is, to put it very simple, is that you have, in each bottle of wine, you have a balance, okay? And when we're talking about the red wine, so we predominantly age red wines, excluding some, specific French white wines. You might age them, but the aging is most of the time pertaining to red wines. So what happens is that when the red wine is of quality, having certain characteristics, the tendency is that the balance of the wine tends to be more on the, harsher side versus softer side. Let's explain these things, right? Because there are harsh and soft components of wine, okay? The harsh components are like the tannins, like the acid in wine. We're not talking about acid that's going to burn your hand, but they're like acidic substances coming from, different parts of the fruit. The softer component wines are like, if there's sugar, well, in the red wine, you won't have that, but you will have alcohol is considered to be a softer component of the wine. And you have polyalcohols, which is like, the glycerin, the hand cream, you have a little bit of that in that wine. So all these things combined together, and you would also, on the just a complete list, on the harsher part of the side, when the hard parts of the wine, you have the minerals. You can think about salt. Okay?
Right.
So there is a balance. When the prices go up and the wine is important and all that stuff, when you have a balance, okay, and all these features are significantly highly perceived in the wine. So what happens is that if you have produced a very good wine, the first times the tannins are, significantly high up. You drink it, you feel it very astringent in your mouth. It's very tannic, they say. So what happens is that those tannins evolve, okay, in time and come to a certain equilibrium with the softer component. So let's put it this way. On a 10 scale, if you have a very good wine done in the right way, you would have, let's say, 9 or 10 out of 10 in terms of, the harsh components, and you'd have like 7 or 8 in terms of soft components of wine. Those won't change in time. What will happen is the hard components of wine are going to evolve into reducing. That's why we age wine, okay? So you will feel less tannic in time. So that's why you are expecting the tannins, the feeling of the tannins to change, to modify.
And become softer?
Softer.
Yes.
So that
so
way,
mellow.
Yeah, exactly. So it turns out to be, we said 10 and 8, 10 being the hard, 8 being the soft, and in time it's going to reduce to 9. In time it's going to reduce to 8, where you have the equilibrium. Now you have to drink that wine. So that's why you're aging that wine. And after a while, to everybody's surprise, it's going to go down and down and down. So you don't want to age after a while.
Right. So okay. You could literally have a bottle of wine that you think is great. It gets past its balance.
Exactly.
And goes the other direction. And now you've got a wine that's really no good anymore, and you paid a lot of money for it, and you aged it too long.
Yeah. I mean, there are like, you know, the experts use like curves. Like the Cabernet Sauvignon could be, depending on the type and how it was made, like 25 years, 30 years. The variety we are talking is the grape that does, from which we have the juice and everything. The Cabernet Sauvignon is a grape. So what happens is that you have to see what kind of wine it is, how it was made and everything, and you can define how many years, it needs from an expert's perspective by tasting and evaluating it. And you can say, it has like 10 years of life and it's going to go to its peak and it's going to start dropping down. So wine, actually, the bottled wine has a life cycle. It's born, it's raised, it comes to its peak and wonderful time, and it goes, down and down and down and down. Yeah, so you won't really age a wine like 200 years. It's not going to be good at all.
So these people that do buy that 112-year-old bottle of wine at the auction are probably buying something that's not particularly good, right?
Well, that's an interesting question. The answer is yes. But some people, if they're really big-time experts, they want to do experiments. So they want to see how the wine has evolved, okay? So after 100 years, a very important wine, what it turned into. Because they know that after 25 years it reached its peak, but after 100 years, what it is. But to answer it, to give it more precise, answer to your question, yes, you will not enjoy that wine.
Right. Yeah, kind of defeats the purpose. I guess some people like to buy it and they just say, look, I've got a 112-year-old bottle of wine, right? So maybe it's worth something because it was crafted by some guy prior to World War II.
Actually, the thing is that there was one interesting thing is that I've been to France. I know I've talked with the chateau owners, a few important thing. And one of them was saying that our wines, they never the very expensive ones, they never open the bottle. I said why? I said because they buy it, they put it in the cellar, it's very expensive, they show it to the people, their guests, put it back, show it to the people, put it back. So they never drink the wine. So they keep it like an investment. So, and kind of thing to show to the people, And that's why you have these wines age a lot of years, which shouldn't have been,
Right. Well, I noticed that, and I thought to myself, wine is kind of investment because I've bought wine at Costco, right?
Okay.
In say,
good
last
place to buy
year.
Stuff, yeah.
Yeah. And I've seen a bottle of wine that had maybe a 2009 or a 2011, right? And then the following year, there's that more expensive rack at Costco. You go down the aisle and then there's one rack where the wine's more expensive. I've noticed the following year, a bottle that was like $10 a bottle last year in the aisle is now on the rack for $15 or $16.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened to make that bottle of wine go up in value in that 1 year's period?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great – I thought to myself, wow, maybe I should have bought 1,000 bottles of that wine. I would now have an extra $5,000 because it was $5 more a bottle now. I mean – do people do that? Do people buy wine like that?
Yeah. I mean, there's a big second market for, especially for the precious ones. In London, there is a stock exchange called LIVEX, LIVEX. So you can, exchange wine. They define the prices. The average increase in wine prices as an instrument return has been over 15% combined. And there has been some years that it's gone like over 30%. So as an investment tool, you can buy wine and keep it in bond in a place in London and just make money out of it. That's another kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. It struck me then. I was like, man, if I had a warehouse, I'd be buying a lot of wine and sitting on it for a year. It would go up $5 a bottle in value.
Yeah, there's another thing that there are wine futures. What it is that you buy the wine from the expensive, you know, chateaus that have that in France and some in Italy. You wine the wine that wasn't even made. It's in the process of making. So if you buy big quantities, they would even allow you to go and taste it, to see it works while it's being made. And you buy the instrument, it's an investment, and you can make money out of it. So wine is a very complicated industry.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't understand that. I mean, it just happened to strike me walking down the aisle there, and it kind of blew my mind. Wow, here's money being made by somebody.
Yeah, you know? Huge margins. We're talking about huge margins at the same time.
Well, let's talk about kind of a little bit about the politics of wine. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons you're doing this is to educate people. You're doing it for free. You're like me. You're trying to educate the community. And sometimes wine will go up in value, even though it may not be a particularly good wine. Mm-hmm. And is that because some judges who may be biased by, I'm not going to say they're being bribed, but they may be saying, oh, this is a great wine, you should buy it. If they do that in the New York Times or New Yorker magazine, even if it's not a particularly good bottle of wine, it's going to jack the price up, right?
Yeah. The thing is that your reputation as a judge, wine judge talking, is predominantly linked to your being independent, right? Is this the case in the United States? I don't know. I mean, I have a certain understanding that it's not necessarily this case, because in these international wine competitions, you don't necessarily see the big people in the wine industry. And as I said, it's an invitation-only organization. The point is that you might be biased. Well, actually, we don't have very much wine judges in the United States. You have wine critics, which is something interesting if you want to think, you know, you define yourself to be a critic.
So
it's my word against your word.
All right. So a wine critic from the New York Times is probably not even a wine judge or a sommelier.
It's very likely. Well, I can tell that, you know, I know if people know, Robert Parker is a very known person in California. He's not a sommelier. He's not a wine judge. But he defines, like, he gives, like, you know, ratings to the wine. But unfortunately, the point is that his word against your word. And, you know, there are other people in the California region that, you know, share a certain view that, you know, try to protect their area. And most of them, you know, don't have any official degree. It's like, as we were talking about, like, it was like claiming that you're going to do an operation as a surgeon, but you're not a doctor, you know?
Right.
Something like that.
And we're going to jump into a break real quick. And when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the politics of wine.
That's interesting.
Okay. We'll see you on the other side.
It's time now for Wham! Talk 1600's Community Calendar with Brandon Drake.
Wigs for Kids provides custom fit, age appropriate wigs at no cost to Michigan children who are experiencing hair loss as a result of cancer treatment and other medical conditions. To learn more about how your contribution can make a difference in the life of a Michigan child, please call Wigs for Kids at 586-772-6656 or visit www.wigsforkids.org. That's Wigs, the number 4, kids.org. The Alzheimer's Association has launched 2 free resources for families impacted by Alzheimer's disease. The Alzheimer's Association's Alzheimer's Navigator is an online tool to help caregivers and people with dementia evaluate their needs, identify action steps, and connect with local programs and services. The other free resource, ALZ Connected, is powered by the Alzheimer's Association and is the first social networking community designed for people living with Alzheimer's and their caregivers. For more information on Alzheimer's disease or available resources, visit alz.org or call 800-272-3900. The Plymouth Elks Lodge number 1780 in Plymouth has Jazz at the Elks in a beautiful club setting on the last Tuesday of every month from 7 to 10 p.m.
The lodge is located at 41700 Ann Arbor Road in Plymouth. On Tuesday, November 27th, will be the Terry Lohr Trio. There's a $10 donation at the door, which includes hors d'oeuvres. For more information, call 734-453-1780 or email plymouthelk1780@yahoo.com.
You've been listening to the Wham Community Calendar. To have your event publicized, email community@whamradio.com or write to Brandon Drake, COWAAM, 4230 Packard Road, Ann Arbor, 48108. Wham! Talk 1600. The Salvation Army and Wham! Talk 1600 are pleased to present the 6th annual 1600 Toys for 1600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive. We need your help to make sure every needy child in Washtenaw County has a happy holiday. Toys are needed for young teens, too. Games, CDs, DVDs, sports equipment, jewelry, and makeup. You can donate a new unwrapped toy to one of our sponsor locations. In Ann Arbor, Gold Crown Jewelers, Dixboro General Store, USA Hockey, Two Men in a Truck, George Meyer Company, Kmart, Garris, and Garris Law, Hogback Office Center, Cozy Home Solutions, Treasure Mart, in Ypsilanti, Gene Buttman Ford, Michigan Firehouse Museum, Kmart, Dr. Michael Singleton, DDS Celine. Together, we can collect 1,600 toys for 1,600 girls and boys. The 6th annual 1,600 Toys for 1,600 Girls and Boys Christmas Toy Drive.
It's so scary, even my mom and dad are scared of it. It's not the monster in my closet or under my bed. It's not a big ferocious animal. It's cancer. I got it when I was 6 years old. I have to go to the doctors and they stick me with needles and it makes me too tired to play with my friends. I hope that one day no kid will have cancer. That's why my family likes CureSearch for Children's Cancer. They fund and support children's cancer research in local hospitals. Visit CureSearch.org to find out how you can help kids like me.
In the middle of a major speech, you took approximately 2 minutes to make an Angry Birds reference.
It's a little weird. The birds are angry because the pigs took their eggs. Those eggs belong to the birds. And the pigs, especially the one wearing the crown, have taken the eggs from the birds. That's what's making them angry.
It is redistribution of eggs.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Don't miss the Glenn Beck Program, 9 to noon, here on Wham!
You're catching the drift. Gary Wellings and the Drift. On Wham! Talk 1600. Call 734-822-1600 to join in the discussion.
And welcome back to the Drift. Our guest in the studio, Shant Margos, wine judge and wine sommelier. And again, 734-822-1600. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. Love to get your calls and input. Shant, we were talking a little bit about why you decided to do this instead of writing for an established wine magazine or something else. Mm-hmm. You believe in educating people so that they can make their own decisions.
Yeah.
And the industry is not really designed to do that, is it?
Yeah. The interesting thing that I realized when I came here, because I knew certain people, that wine here is kind of highly politicized thing, which people don't see that. And I realized that it wasn't very much possible to do an independent thing with a certain mindset. So, you know, especially if you have certain values, I mean, maybe we can be more open about this, you know, if you have, you know, a conservative view and, you know, be part of the good people that I would like to define. So the only way to do this seriously and really would be to trying to do something independent, which if you want to really educate the people, tell the truth, okay? Not be part of the, you know, oligarchic industry of the, you know, other side of people, let's put it that
right.
way. So this was one of the motivators, and that's why I tried to do it this way.
Yeah, so it's kind of almost the industry, the wine industry, is almost kind of like Hollywood, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't have a liberal mindset, if you're not maybe a, quote, I'm doing the air quotes, not like they're around, the democratic, liberal, progressive, you're not going to really get very far. I mean, they kind of discriminate against you if you're a conservative.
And thinking of wine, if I don't know if anyone's listening, if we have a conservative wine winery out there, someone, feel free to call in or contact you. Would love to have that. But it strikes me as odd. You know, when you told me that, I said, wow, that's just like Hollywood. And it's certainly, you know, they're trying to control their market. And again, like many hypocritical terms that you see from the Democrats, they say they're all about helping people, but yet they're just all about power and control, isn't it?
Well, I think the thing is that it kind of struck me was this. I didn't know all these things, okay? When I came here, I didn't know, you know. I'm a known person in Europe, and Europe doesn't work this way. It's very meritocratical about the wine stuff. When I said that, you know, I was, you know, trying to do, you know, these things, and the people that I knew before, which I knew that they were Democrats and known people in the market, without giving names, the majority, by the way. So they were like, oh, yeah, but, you know, I was thinking that if you could, like, contribute to us, but, you know, forget about it. So I was like, why? Why?
A little pay to play.
You know, like, this kind of struck me, really, because I wasn't expecting this. And the funny thing is that in Europe, people are educated. You know, the industry is, you know, concealing something to have their, you know, power. But I realized that in the United States, people do not really know much about the wine. They're told what to do, but they don't know. And I said, okay, let me, you know, put my contribution to this thing and appeal to the people that we have similar mindset. And they told me it's not a good idea, you know, starting off from that kind of an environment. I said, well, I would like to, you know, appeal to the people that, you know, the good Americans, you know. And it's strange that, like, you know, I don't know Hollywood, but I can understand, you know, similar stuff, similar stuff.
Yeah, that's a travesty. I mean, there should be nothing more important to our government, to our industries, than to have an educated consumer. I mean, we have an appliance store here in Metro Detroit that an educated customer is our best customer. You know what I mean? Something like that. And it is, because you know what? It tells people that you're putting quality product out. If they understand and are educated, they're going to buy that quality product. They're not going to buy this stuff that people are pushing on them and saying is what they should be buying. And that just irritates me, because you know what? This is the land of the free. This is America. You should be able to do anything you want, regardless of your political affiliation. I don't care if the wine I'm buying from is made by a Democrat or a Republican. If it's what I like, I'm going to buy it. Educate me about your wine. Don't just tell me it's good and force me into trying to buy it. That just strikes me as very odd, and I never would have suspected that from the wine industry.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't have, and I'm kind of surprised, actually, because most of the things are kind of behind the scenes at the same time. And they are not doing a good job of, you know, explaining what it is and how it is.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to take on that mission. No one is really interested to, you know, serve the community for the good people. I'm interested to do that.
Yeah. Give me your website again, because we're going to run out of time here. I want to get your website.
Well, it's called winemagonline.com.
Winemag, M-A-G, online.com.
Yes, .com. And we are developing it. So it's in the phase of development. We're investing time and everything.
Okay.
But we have this feature, nice feature for the good people to answer any question or doubt they have. We will serve the community, we being me in first person.
Right. So every month in the current, or winemagonline.com.
Exactly.
Your questions, your concerns, get hold of Shant, and he will give you, I'm telling you, a detailed explanation or answer to your questions. So, Shant, thank you so much for coming in today. We will have you on again. And everybody, stay educated. Enjoy your turkey this Thursday. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you.